August 9th, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Gonna know. dreams and go out walking, step by step, always hoping that walk in the trash line. You know why? What are we gonna do today? You know what we're doing. We'll walk in the trash line. We're taking our sweet time. Yeah, we're having a good time. Just walk in the trash line. Oh. As instructed from above. To find the path that takes me home now and not come back. Far away, the nighttime understands.
Pedro Show in Pedro, but now with Brother Matt, still indisposed, but also not man alone, because through the magic of those righteous engineers in Estonia, via Skype, we got Kim Rancourt here. Welcome aboard, Kim.
Hey, Brother Mike, how you doing?
I'm very happy to be able to talk with you about your new Plum Plum Prodge. We started off the show with John Coltrane doing Little Old Lady, and then Plum Plum with Walk in the Trash Line. Kim, what is your earliest musical memory?
My musical first memory would probably be listening to the radio with my mother in the kitchen.
What town?
That would be in Detroit.
Okay. And so, did anybody make music in the house?
Nobody made music in the house,
so
Mike.
She's a listener.
She loved the radio.
Yeah,
she would even listen to the baseball games on the radio instead of TV.
Okay, great. Does she listen to all kinds of music or certain styles?
She's easy listening, I would have to say. Perry Como, Harry Belafonte, Della Reese. And maybe Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, great, great. So that's what you're hearing as. And now we're talking, you're a little boy at this time, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So this would be Mike in the 1950s.
Yeah. Do you remember the first record you got?
I certainly do. That would be, let me see here. There's a couple that come to mind. Sing Along with Mitch, that album.
Mitch Miller.
And the Chipmunks. Okay. You know, I would say those two.
And those are the ones you got yourself. They weren't given to you.
The one I bought myself is The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That would be my first one I purchased.
Oh, okay. 45?
45.
Yeah. And tell people, because me and you, you know, were from a little before, where'd you get it? There weren't really record stores, right?
No, no. I bought it at the drugstore.
Same with me. My first records
I bought. Really? And I continued, Mike, to buy Beatles, Rolling Stones records at Claremar Drugs in Royal Oak, Michigan.
And you know Tower Records started in a drugstore.
Did they really?
Yeah, in Sacktown.
No idea. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, nobody's really playing music in the house. What about at school?
I attempted to play the clarinet, actually, in the third grade, and I got to tell you, I fell miserably.
Same with me, but it was seventh grade, and it was really? Clarinet. Yeah, it was the licorice stick.
I was the worst.
Yeah, I had 10 weeks, and the music teacher, Mr. Lewis, said, Mr. Watt, you try hard, but
that's
why
right.
Don't you do yourself a favor, me a favor, us all a favor, and just... move on
and
to
something
else.
I think the exact thing happened to me, and my father was so happy.
Okay. What about gigs?
The first gig I ever played?
No, went to.
Oh, went to. That would probably be Bob Seger at the Hideout.
Okay. How old were you?
So I was 15.
15, so junior high.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, music, after school, with friends, right?
All the time.
Okay. Who was the first cat who turned you on to playing?
Turned me on to playing Mike?
Yeah.
Turned me on to playing music?
Yeah. Not just listening, but playing.
But actually, playing, I would have to say... it was a gentleman by the name of Mitch Strasberg, who was the original bass player for When People Were Shorter and Lived Near the Water.
Yeah, great band. I remember those records.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So he got you involved, okay. And how'd that happen?
We were camping in Jamaica at a campground called Strawberry Fields. He was over in the next tent. And when we got back to New York City, and we became pretty good friends down there in Jamaica, that's when we decided to form a band.
And you never played anything before?
I didn't go into rock and roll until I was 29 years old, Mike.
That's okay. No wine before... Kim, no wine before it's time, the great man.
Exactly. And it was pretty cool because, actually, Alan Vega... lived in their home for 5 years. He didn't have a place to live, so Mitch got a lot of the influences of the music they were going to play from Alan because his parents put him up there for 5 years.
And good people. Alan was part of Suicide.
Yes.
And in fact, he told me, because they opened up for the Stooges when we redid the Raw Power thing.
Yeah.
And he told me he wanted to be a singer. He was an artist man, but wanted to be a singer after seeing Egg play.
Max. Really?
Yeah.
You know, I could kick myself, Mike, because when Mitch's mother moved, she invited me over to the house, and she says, there's a whole bunch of Alan's wonderful light sculptures upstairs. Why don't you take one? Or why didn't you take them all? And I was living in a very little apartment at the time, and I said, you know, I just can't do it, and I could kick myself now for not doing that.
Yeah. So, that's a trip. Look, we're going to play a song here called Hail. What can you tell us about that?
That was more of one of the poetry-orientated songs that I didn't think producer Don Fleming would pick in a million years. I went over to the studio with him, and he says, no, man, we're doing this one. And this atmospheric quality that came out with it was beautiful that Don put together basically from a whole bunch of tracks.
Okay, let's listen.
Hail in the sun. future. And if you left with no future, you'll find nothing but your past, which is all you've ever had. So please, I look real pretty in your textbook photos. Please, oh please, I want to be underneath your toenails, earth from when you left and walked around.
Thank you. shot down. earning someone else money. Long days, longer days, on repeat, the boss on your shoulder. How to make it work so that people are happy or content or fulfilled. Have no boss on your shoulder.
For Pedro Show, started that chunk off with Hail from the new Plum Plum album, Kim Mackcourt. Then we got Do a Decibel System, brand new, Radio Tell Me Why. Then The Breakfast Cowboy with Let Me Be Your History. That's an alter ego of our guest last week, Brock Ginter. Brand new from Boris, Biotope Disorder with Shut Down. You Ain't Going Nowhere from Here Lies Man. Spirit Valley with Too Hot for Heaven. Howie Reeve, Mazapan, and finally his buddies, Sunshapes, with Bruce Lee's Buffet, or like they say in England, Buffet. Back to your musical journey, Kim. Okay, I want to tell you, Joe Bison started playing electric guitar at 27 years old. You know,
is that right? Wow.
And then he ended up in a few years transcribing Charlie Parker's solos. You know?
Oh, man, that's amazing.
So 29 is okay. So I want to hear about you being 29 years old, and we're going to make a band with your buddy.
Well, I took a bunch of people who hadn't really played. Our drummer hadn't played since he was in high school. Our guitarist, Bob Mitzvah, when people were shorter and lived under the water, hadn't really ever played the guitar before. Mitch Strasburg, the bass player, hadn't played for years and years. And Joe DePhillips, the other singer, and myself had never fronted or sang a band, you know, with a band before.
Yeah.
But I knew Mike, they were also talented, and all they needed was a push.
Sure.
A little push. And after about the third rehearsal, everybody looked at each other and said, you know what, this is going to work. You know, this is going to be okay.
How'd you come up with that band name?
I'm asked that a lot, and I'll give you the real reason, because I usually give a different one every time. Mitch and I had a paint company, and we were in Brooklyn Heights. I know you've been in Brooklyn Heights, and there's some very old brownstones there.
Oh, yeah.
And we were cruising by in the Volkswagen van that he had. There was a tiny little doorway that was probably used for perhaps maybe the servant's entrance, something like that. And if you know Brooklyn Heights, it's right on the East River right there. And he looked at me. He says, oh, look at that doorway. I guess that's when people were shorter. And I looked at the river and I said, yeah, and lived near the water.
Oh,
and
yeah. Definitely not standard. When you see these old buildings, yeah, the doorways, they're whatever they made them to be.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that's a true story.
That's great. Do you remember the first gig there, Kim?
Yes. It was in my beloved Coney Island at a place called Sideshows by the Seashore, which I'm still affiliated with, which I would love to get you out there sometime to come out to the freak show. Now, have you ever heard of it before?
No.
Yeah, it's a wonderful theater in Coney Island, right down from Nathan's Hot Dogs. So we have music and art, and you can go to Sideshow School, and you can learn how to walk, you know, on lay on a bed of nails, learn how to sword swallow. But I was cruising down the boardwalk with my wife and my guitarist, Bob Mitzvah, and there was an old pinball arcade. And it was cleared out, and it looked like somebody had built a stage on it. And I was smoking at the time, so on a pack of Marlboros, I wrote, whoever owns this place, give me a call. Because I looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? We had no plans of playing live ever, but I said, you know what? If we're playing anywhere, we're going to play here first. And sure enough, he called me back, and that is Dick Ziggin, who was still the unofficial mayor of Coney Island. And he said, we're just opening this theater. Perhaps you could raise us some dough. So we had Mermaid, where we actually played with a group called Half a Chicken and Band of Susans, who you probably have heard of.
Oh, sure,
of.
Sure.
And that was our first gig
what
out
was,
there.
What was the, Kim, what was the date?
Oh, so that would be 1985.
Okay, last year of the Minutemen.
That's right. Where I had the wonderful opportunity to see quite a few times because we have a mutual friend by the name of Chuck Reese.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually stayed at his house one time.
Well,
we hung out actually in Brooklyn.
Okay, I remember he moved north, but I know him from Georgia, you know.
From Athens, probably.
That's right.
Right.
Not Atlanta, Athens. You are correct, sir.
Because he was the editor of The Red and the Black.
That's right. And also editor. Jim Tremaine.
That's right. Yeah.
Good cats. Both those cats I love.
Excellent.
I'm sorry
cats.
To say Atlanta because that's Yellow Jacket, Georgia Tech land, and Athens is them dogs.
And Chuck's down there now. He's got a blog called The Bitter Southerner.
Okay.
Yeah. Check it out.
I will. I loved him, man. He's always a good time and a fountain of knowledge. And Jim,
absolutely.
I got to see a little while ago, not too long ago, and it was great. It had been many years.
Wow.
So I was bitching. So, you guys went on to make records. Well,
we
no, first
records.
Yeah, but Kim, first I want to hear about that first gig. Was it a pants shitter?
It was amazingly wonderful. It was great. We did all covers. As you know, when people were shorter and living in the water, it was a covers band. And we did a record, you know, of...
But they weren't exactly... It wasn't like Top 40. You guys interpreted.
We interpreted. We did Bobby Goldsboro. We did Porgy and Bess, you might remember. We did Bill Kennedy Showtime of all the bands that played my high school in Detroit.
Yeah.
So they were all covers. But the first gig went very, very well. And since we were playing on the same bill with Band of Susans, I knew both Susan Stanger and Robert Plossen when I was working in the law firm. So he's the one who put out our very first record on Trace Elements Records.
And what was that like to... How long were you guys a band when you made that first record?
Pretty short, probably 3 months,
wow.
I'm guessing, something like that.
That's the first time you're ever in a studio, most probably people in the band.
And yes, and ironically...
What was the studio?
The studio that we originally recorded in was actually Noise New York, or, you know, with Kramer.
Sure.
We weren't on his label yet. But we recorded in his studio when it used to be over by Penn Station, by Madison Square Garden, before it moved downtown.
Okay. And how many days you spend on it?
Oh, two?
Yeah, so real quick then. Okay.
Real quick, 45.
Did you guys ever tour?
Rarely.
Okay.
And what were they, short tours?
Short tours, yes.
Did you ever have any nightmare gigs?
Have any nightmare gigs? No. I gotta tell
you. You know, like getting hit with used condoms or batteries or sacks of shit or cups of piss, stuff like
that.
Yeah,
so loud and we were such a mess, you know what I mean, that's what was kind of expected. So whatever went on, not like the replacements kind of thing, but you know what I mean. Like it was go for it, and we did. And it ended up most of the time being quite fun. And I can't remember really too many gigs that went completely wrong.
Okay.
It's funny when I think back on it, that's pretty cool.
It is very cool because I cannot testify to that.
Yeah.
So, how many albums did the records did when people were shorter and lived by the river make?
It was near the water.
Near the water.
We did. Let's see. We did 245s. We did a cassette called Turning Into Pain that we released in Japan. And then with Kramer on Shimmy Disc, we did three albums.
Okay. So how many years did the band last?
Oh, so the band lasted from about 85 to about 91. So I guess about 6 years, something like that.
And then what happened to you in music?
Then, during the last couple albums, we got brother Dave Rick aboard. Oh, Mitch left the band, and we got Dave Rick playing bass.
Right.
Because he used to stand, you know, like at Maxwell's, right in front of my face, smiling. And we figured that he would be a good replacement, which he indeed was. And so I would say that he was instrumental in the last two albums, and we decided that we would go off and form our own band called Shapiro-Rama. He was in a band called Wonderama, you might remember, and they threw out the lead singer, who I'm still friends with, actually, Mark Altabeth, and we were going to be on Zorn's label. So we decided on Avant. So we decided to change the name from to Shapiro-Rama from Wonderama.
Yeah, there used to be a kid show from Virginia called Wonderama.
That's exactly where they got the name
from.
What
was his name, Bob Bannister or something?
Bob Bannister, that's right. I didn't actually have that in Michigan.
You know, they had it in California when I came out here from Virginia.
We were cool enough in Detroit to have Soupy Sales, if you know what I mean.
No, Ronnie and Scotty told me about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember one time Muhammad Ali was on there, and he was telling all these little kids, I can whoop your daddy's butt. I can whoop your daddy's butt. And the looks on these kids' face was like, whoa. Shapiro-Rama, what'd they do?
Shapiro-Rama, we played with a great guitarist by the name of Chuck Marcus and a drummer, Steve DiBenedetto, who's a brilliant artist here in New York and did a gig just a few months ago with Don Fleming, and actually a duo. And we released three records, a regular record with the band, and then we collaborated with the great Jad Fair for two records as well.
And did it run its course?
It ran its course, we felt it was time. And
when was that?
Dave Rick was, of course, in King Missile, and they were successful at the time, and they were touring all over the United States. So this is in the early 90s.
Okay. And, King Missile, of course.
Right. Another on the Shimmy Disc roster.
That's right.
It was great, you know, having everybody playing with one another. It was a very incestuous label, if you know what I mean, because everybody was playing on each other's records, and that was by design by Mr. Kramer, who assembled the bunch of weirdos that we were and are.
What happened with that?
With Shimmy Disc? Well, no,
with that whole scenario.
The whole scene?
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of animosity with Mr. Kramer regarding royalties. and that kind of thing. And people were getting a little disgruntled about being on the label. But I, at the time, was very grateful to him, to be honest with you, that he gave us the opportunity to record great, three great solid records. So, I'm still friends with him, yet perhaps a lot of people aren't.
Okay. And what did you do with music after that?
After that, I didn't do too much,
okay, to
tell you the truth.
And, that's okay. And,
yeah.
Life comes in cycles. Yeah, Chuck D said something. Cycles, cycles. Life comes in cycles. Old is new. No, I ain't no psycho. We come to the end.
You know, I heard a great quote today from Leonard Bernstein. You like Lenny?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm a tour guide here in New York, and I give the art and architecture tour at Lincoln Center. So I'm very close to Lenny. Besides the fact he's buried right near my house in Greenwood Cemetery, so I go over and visit him all the time. I read a quote today of his, which I think is fantastic, that you can relate to. He said, to achieve great things, two things are needed, a plan and quite not enough time.
That's great.
Right?
Absolute. It's August 9th, 2017 edition, first hour, Watt from Pedro Show, special guest, Kim Rancourt. Time for hour two. August 9th, 2017, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You know it now. thing that is, is.
Away from home, my sweet. Nino, Nino, ¿me hacen algo, niño? Está bueno, comen, ¿eh? Esta pena que he pegado ahí. ¿El papá está?
Botones lácteos de duro caramelo, atalayas carnosas en la luna senderos de costillas blancas de lenguas jubilosas por el suelo, de costillas blancas, de lenguas jubilosas, por el suelo. Columnas blancas, devoradme luego, aplastado en las losas, remojar los juegos, encías en las sienes, se aprende rutiendo la altura de mi cráneo, encías en las sienes, se aprende rutiendo la altura de mi cráneo, nacen las pestañas los labios nuevos, me atraviesan tus púas, derrumbado en tus adentros, cuanto yo querría, oh, si yo querría relajarte los sueños. Pero me callo, sí, sí, yo me callo en tu tricampo. Mulo.
La pregunta es, ¿podem camarar? ¿Podem fer una càrrega policial al centre per netejar ràpidament la zona aquesta o és inviable?
Ja fa molt suficient, podem intentar-ho, però estan tancats al terra i enganxats al pal.
Yo te invito a toda la plaza, ya ve que se están culando para tu tarde, pero no hay ni instrucción. Y a vos, ¿todo quién?
Para la vez, mucha invasión. Mucha invasión, hasta el otro país, hasta el otro
Dragó 0, no pot dispersar aquest grup que tenim davant d'un valet, no dins de la zona de la denúncia.
Disparen pilotes, que estem disparant de tot. Estan que no poden fer res més, no poden disparar munició real.
No, evidentment que no, evidentment que no. Sabem que facin el que poden, però tenim l'obligació també de demanar.
El pueblo unido para ser agotido.
Vamos a la carrera, que no segui, dragón, que no segui.
Y entre jugo y órgano y diminutos huesos, pezón y lóbulo y cuernos en los
y cuernos en los senos, las nalgas bulbosas, sí, las nalgas bulbosas, la cintura en el cuello, desnuda está la angustia, oh, sí, sírveme, oh, sí, soy tu alimento.
Stop, 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 stop
Watford Pedro Show started off the second hour with Plum Plum doing The Thing That Is. Then Space Pony, Stray Dog Live. Las Víctimas Civiles with Menu. La Nueva Droga Es Cristo from Revoluta Roja. My First Encounter with Cutman from Revolt 1989. And Aaron Lum with Living in a Box. Before we go any further, Kim's got another quote from Mr. Bernstein.
I did. I found another one here, which I think is pretty cool that you can relate to also, Mike.
All right.
Music can name the unnameable and communicate the unknowable.
That's
what you think about that.
I think it's fucking sublime. No, I really, if you think about it, there's a lot of truth in that. Thank you, Mr.
Communicating the unknowable.
Yeah.
I think that's what music is all about, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he's getting at the idea that not all everything's communicated through words.
That is correct.
Right.
That's a great way to put it. Not just necessarily music.
Right. Right. Because like, Mr. Vega's light sculptures, for example.
Exactly.
Like Raymond Pettibone's drawings.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of which I own one.
Tell me about this project here, Kim. Plum.
Yes. How did we get the name?
Just the whole thing.
The whole thing. Well, we started the record about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I was turning 60, which is a milestone. And my good friend Don Fleming and producer said, you know what, Kim, you should do a solo record. You've never done a solo record, so this is the time to do it since you're 60. So I said, who's going to play on it? And he said, let's figure it out. And he did assemble quite a great group of musicians, friends of yours, of course. And they're all amazing musicians, and he picked the right ones. And a lot of names were kicked around, and I think he picked the best that he could have to convey what I had in my beanie and bring it to life. I mean, we went into a studio, and I kind of knew what I wanted to hear.
What studio was that?
What studio? We went into Sonic Youth Studio in Hoboken.
Yeah, great. Well, you had Steve Shelley on drums, and quite a rhythm section, because on bass, Joe Bouchard from the Blue Oyster.
Never in a million years did I think I'd be playing with Joe Bouchard, and what an amazing musician, as you know.
Yeah, and great cat.
And what a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Truly, truly one of the great people I've met in my lifetime. So down to earth and nice. And with just brilliant ideas in the studios coming at you left and right.
Yeah, so how did these tunes, would you bring in some words? I mean, how did you put these tunes together?
Yeah, I gave Don a whole stack of words.
Okay.
I give him lyrics all the time. And he gives me lyrics too, but he seems to think that he likes my lyrics. So he kind of picked and chose, and out of maybe the 50 songs that I gave him, he whittled them down to 24.
Okay. And then how did the music get set to these words?
We went into the studio. We didn't rehearse at all. It was all live. It was all primarily one take, sometimes two or three that Don would mess with and perhaps put different takes together for different parts of the songs. But it was really me conveying to them kind of what I wanted to hear, what was in my head. And it was so amazing to hear it come to life. You know how that goes. You know what I mean? How it just came to life. I mean, they're all pros. Gary Lucas, absolutely amazing. I'd played with Lucas before.
He played on the last Captain Beefheart album.
Yes, he did. And I did a John Zorn, I conducted a John Zorn piece called Cobra at the Knitting Factory when it used to be over on Houseman Street, the old one.
And I saw William Parker there do a testimony.
Oh, wow. I think I did too. I think actually.
Was it really sweaty? It was a thirsty
yeah,
drink.
I mean, think
it was
so. Fun.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We might have been both there at the same time, Kim.
I think so.
What
think
about
so.
This name Plum Plum?
What I didn't hear you, Mike.
What about this name Plum Plum?
Well, I had written a song called Plum Plum, and we recorded the song Plum Plum, and I really, really liked it a lot. Don hated it. He said, no, this is not going on the record. And as you know, there's a long tradition in rock and roll that if you write a song and it doesn't make the record, sometimes you name that record that. And that's exactly what we did. Not to get back at Don, but I just thought it was catchy. You know, like Houses of the Holy. That was a song, right?
Okay, yeah. So you're saying that the album's title is eponymous with the band's name.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen.
She got here while she was walking down the street. Yeah. She got hit by the butcher's son. Yeah, she was walking, waiting, walking down the street. She got hit by the morning sun. Yeah, she got hit when she was walking down the street. She got hit by number seven. Yeah, honey. Number 7. She got hit by a wagon wheel. Yeah, you should hear her rolling mama down the street. She got hit by an extra cut. You should see her honey walking down the street. Yeah. She got hit by Mary Worth. Yeah, she did walk rolling down the street.
she was walking down the street.
push out in front, and we'll spend the day together. Pretending what we're not, and we'll enjoy the weather. Because it's sunny and it's hot. So put away the sweater.
Claudine, let your hair hang. I'll let your hair hang down. Claudine, let your hair hang. I'll let your hair hang down.
Because I don't know you well. But sooner or later, you'll be sure to tell me what's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah. Claudine, Claudine, she kills me with her every step. She's feeling things we might regret. Claudine's the girl that said to me, see the things inside of me. Remember what you always want.
You'll be sure to tell me what's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah.
Put Claudine on the spot. I'm so glad I met her. She's everything I'm not, and you know I won't forget her. She's everything I want, and I hope we stick together.
Claudine, let your hair hang. I'll let your hair hang down. Claudine, let your hair hang. I'll let your hair hang down.
I don't know you well. Yeah, but sooner or later, you'll be sure to tell me
what's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah. What's on your mind, yeah. What do you let your hand hang? I'll let your hand hang down.
Watch for Pedro Show. We started that chunk off with She Got Hit. Plum Plum, what's that about?
She Got Hit. I wrote just a million different verses for She Got Hit. She Got Hit, She Got Hit, She Got Hit. Don Fleming and I, and this has been pointed out in some other interviews that I've done. Don Fleming and I don't know if you know it, Mike, but I helped him archive the Lou Reed estate. And it was a real honor doing that for Laurie Anderson. I was in charge of the paper. Actually, documents, posters, that kind of thing, because of the background in printing, having been working at Ross Ellis and printed many, many, many of your records there, as a matter of fact. And just by osmosis, I think, this song ended up being a real tribute to Lou. Would you agree?
Yeah. And it's kind of the wailer for the album, too, in a way.
It's a real New York song. It's the longest song on the record,
yeah.
And I think Don probably worked the hardest on it of all.
Okay, then we heard Godzilla Snacks with Painted Eyelids, The Healers with vocals by Sarange in Heaven, Mind Jail, brand new band, brand new song, Slip Away, and finally Plum Plum, Claudine. What's Claudine about?
But it was a song that I actually wrote for a Broadway musical that I was writing with Andrew W.K. You know Andrew?
I don't know him personally, but he likes to party, right?
Yes, he does. He likes to party hard. And we had this idea of writing a show together, a real Bernadette Peters Broadway show, and that was one of the songs that we wrote for the show, and we never ended up doing the show, unfortunately, for some reason, and I thought it was such a good song that it should see the light of day and ended up on the record.
What was the plot of that musical?
The plot of that musical was a young girl of 14 years old goes up into her attic, and she opens up a box, Mike, and finds a beard. She puts on the beard, and she becomes Abraham Lincoln.
Whoa.
And, of course, since she became Abraham Lincoln, there's a lot of things going on there. I mean, you know, he's married to Mary Todd Lincoln. Number one.
Some log cabin action.
You know, like when you get shot in the back of the head like Lincoln did, you know, like, you know, it's not pleasant. And they had to take the beard off and put it, you know, the surgeon who was actually graduated from Bellevue Hospital here in New York, you know, who might have screwed up.
I heard it was dirty fingers.
He stuck his finger into the hole.
Yeah.
In the head. Right? You heard that story?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that theater was shared an alley with the 930 Club when it was on F Street.
That's right. That's right.
I got to tell you, it's the end of the second hour, August 9th, 2017, edition Walk from Pedro Show. Special guest, Kim Rancourt. Hold tight for hour three. August 9th, 2017, it's the third hour of the Walk from Pedro Show.
Get out. Shining in the ocean, waiting for me. Three dots, yeah, barely can you see them. They're sitting in the ocean, yeah, waiting for me. Three dots, yeah, I'm happy just to see them. Sitting in the ocean, yeah, waiting for me. No end, I know end. Sinking down three times. Had a wake in the ocean. Yeah, the wake in the ocean, honey, waiting for me. Three times. Yeah, I've been sitting there like angels. Yeah, looking for a witness. Yeah, waiting for me. When no end, yeah, no end. I'm sinking. We'll be right back.
sul divano di Gianni e te qua.
Questo pezzo parla di un divano
affanculo
verde puzzolente.
E mi viene da stare a dire.
Coglione.
Sul divano di Gianni.
Ok.
Sul divano di Gianni. Ci abbiamo dormito anche noi. Ci abbiamo dormito 30 anni. O forse di più. Eppure c'è Luciano Bianco che gioca alla PlayStation. Eppure ci sentiamo tanto soli, perché non venite a farci compagnia? Sul divano di Gianni, ci abbiamo dormito anche noi, ci abbiamo dormito 30 anni, o forse di più, eppure c'è Luciano Bianco che gioca alla PlayStation, eppure ci sentiamo tanto soli, soli, soli.
Watt from Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with Three Dimes from Plum Plum. Three Dimes. Tell us about it, Kim.
Well, every Sunday morning, much like the song on my record, Walking the Trash Line, I actually go out to Coney Island very early in the morning. Like you, I'm blessed to be near an ocean, and I take full advantage of that. And I walk the trash line, see if anything has floated up, especially after a big storm. And I look down in the water, Mike, and there were three dimes on the water shore. So that's how I kind of came up with the idea.
You want to know my policy for a change on the deck?
I do.
I only pick them up if they're heads up. And you know why?
Why?
That should work out to about 50%, right?
Yes.
So that means I ain't Bogarting.
That's very good. I like that idea.
Okay.
I may have to follow that philosophy myself.
Okay. Bronx after that, the Bronx from Osaka with Piss Poor Pop, Super Freak. And here's some. I was just at a wedding in Italy, in the heel part. Montalbano near Bari, where the real mozzarella comes. And it was a great, beautiful thing. I got to play Scooch's songs with the bride and the groom, and then for the bride and the groom.
Wow.
A bunch of cats. Yeah, they brought me over there. A great label called Lepers, LEPERS.IT, for Italy probably. You go there, you can see their releases. These guys have been doing do-it-yourself music for over 10 years, and with the cat, Giuseppe, known as Super Freak, and Alessa, getting married, and so I got to be part of it. And you know, they have huge chows there.
Oh, wow.
This wedding was like 9 hours, and maybe 20 plates of chow. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it was a good time. So we had Super Freak with Ball Is Mine, Frog Women, who ended up playing the drum. For some reason, he calls himself Plural. And I'll Scream Before I Die, Arabia Sadade with Grande Successo, verso karaoke. Here's another alter ego, Gemishio Fulbio, Sol Divano di Gianni, and then Sitari with On the Road. And then finally, another Plum Plum from the album, the eponymous album. Circles Gotta Go. What's that about?
Well, I tell you, Mike, I'm a big R. Buckmaster Fuller fan.
Buckmaster Fuller.
I loved him in college. I studied him in college. And I love the fact that he was trying to change America's mind about, do we have to have a square block with square houses with square windows? Why can't we have geodesic domes round homes on round streets with round windows?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my...
Portholes.
Portholes, that's right. It's kind of my take on America telling us that we can't do that, that we have to keep sticking with the plan, that we still have to have those square blocks with square homes with square windows and not portals. So the circle has to go.
Which brings us to this next song I'm going to play from you guys called Arkansas Is Burning.
That ended up being kind of our protest song, even though it was written 2 years before the madness that's going on now in the world. That's what I can say about
my
that.
My pop, Dick Watt, my father, his grandfather was from a town called Earl in Arkansas, just west of Memphis over the river. Let's listen to it.
I drink from the hollow tree, and now the leaves are inside of me. The sacred tree inside of me. I eat from the sour ground, and now it's dirt inside of me. That holy ground inside of me. Eternity. Now I see it.
find no trustin' inside of me. But I hear the hollow sounds. Now I hear it deafening in me. With a shot of raptor seeking to me.
was a cowboy, and I'm gonna die. Tell to my baby, to my little darling, that I'm gonna die. I was a cowboy, I am a cowboy. You can tell by my outfit. Streets of Laredo, walk to my darling, walk to her house, tell my darling that I was a cowboy and I die today. Die every day. I die every day. I'm dying today. I'm a cowboy.
City, megy a tudsz.
Ha megnyit az éci, ott van, szerintem akkor van Pabli. Ha nem van Pabli, akkor a zene, akkor van egy saját zene.
Ez még vesz egyébként? Csak azért, mert ez még megy? Ja, jó. Akkor stop. Kis négyzet? Kis négyzettel basszom le?
Thank you.
Leave your light on for me in heaven. Close the door at the top of the stairs. Pray that we will find salvation and forget all our earthly cares. I say a prayer and don't forsake me. By the things we do and say, leave your light on for me in heaven. Say your prayers for the coming day. Save your tears and close your eyes and thank your lucky stars. Shine a light so that we might see. You left me yesterday for the last time. I'm at Hill We Call Cavalry. You know, you might be first, but I'm right behind you. When I come, I'll fall on my knees, reunited with our holy Savior. Come on, friends, we can all believe. So leave your light on for me in heaven, so that we might finally know that the path that we is the one that has been told. I leave your light on for me in heaven. I'm getting closer now every day. And tell your friend that old Saint Peter, rung by rung, I'm coming his way. Because it won't take very long now before we will get to say that the glory that we've been seeking has been seen with God today. Leave your light on for me in heaven. Close the door at the top of the stairs. Pray that we will find salvation and forget all our earthly cares. And leave your light on for me in heaven, so that we might finally know that the path that we've been seeking is the one that has been told. Free from our earthly worries, side by side on that judgment day.
Watch for Pedro Show. Beginning of that last chunk of music for this edition, Arkansas is Burning from Plum Plum. Then Layman with White Lie. Antonio Ramirez and Marco Serrato Borja Diaz with Sai Conata. Then Tit Pui. That's a name for a band. T-I-T-P-W-E. Yeah. Titpua, maybe, I don't know. Streets of Laredo. Of course, who else would do that? One time, John Cale sang me that song. Like a career performer. Yeah, just me and him. I should.
I love that.
Can I tell you the story real quick? A Minutemen were opening up for him in Long Beach, and he was just playing solo piano. He said he wasn't going to move his piano, like looking for a fight. And we said we would be very honored to share that stage with his piano. He said, you would. And then he looks at D. Boone and starts laughing because D. Boone's wearing these giant shorts that have no pockets. And he says, why no pockets? It's so you don't have to feel the weight of the heavy coin. So, you know, D. Boone laughs and then George will go off to chow and it's just me and John Cale in the pad. And he told me, sit down, boy, you know, at the edge of the stage. So I sit down and he gets on the piano and he sang me Streets of Laredo, looking me right in the face, the whole song.
Wow.
Yeah, it made me cry. It was intense.
Wow.
Then we had Moore's Theory, probably not Thurston's, but Infinitesimal Relativity from David Gerard out there in Massachusetts. And finally, Leave Your Light On from Plum Plum. I thought Leave Your Light On would be a good final song for the show.
And it was a good final song for the album.
Because, there's a Cream song on Pendulum, which I call the last one because Mardi Gras is so terrible, except for Sweet Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Held a candle in the window, you know.
I actually wrote that song, Leave Your Life, for Dolly Parton.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And we're still hoping that we can get it to her and that she can record it. It's a long shot. I know she has a lot of people working for her, if you know what I mean. It's very, very difficult to even get her tunes, unlike in the old days where you probably could. But I'm trying.
No, but I got told a story when I was just telling you I was in Memphis a month ago.
Yeah.
The Christmas record with Tara Falco. I was told a story about Elvis Presley saying, "Hey, Dolly, I'll record one of your songs, but you got to give me writing credit." And she said no. When she was young.
She's wow. tough and
Look,
cool.
What's next for you, Kim?
Next for me, maybe doing a little bit of a touring, possibly. I know we're all over the place. Gary Lucas is all over Europe, and you know Steve Shelley.
Sure.
Everywhere.
So coordination is tough. What about where can people find you on the internet?
Where can they find me on the internet? They can go to New York Tiny Tours. That's my touring company that I have.
So that's NEWYORKTINYTOURS.com?
That is correct. And of course, I'm everywhere else that I need to be. Kim Rancourt at yahoo.com. The record is all over being sold, you know, on every single internet site.
What label is it?
It's a label that Don and I just put together called Clown Heroes.
Yeah, great. I love Don Flevin. What a great co-conspirator you got. Look, Kim, if a younger person asked you for some advice about this racket, what would you tell them?
Get somebody, if you're planning to record a record, get somebody good to master it. And I think you have to agree with that. And we were so lucky to have Greg Colby do that. Persevere. Do whatever you want. Don't listen to anybody.
Let the freak flag fly?
Huh?
Let the freak flag fly?
Absolutely. Let it go. Let it go. Don't take anybody's opinion. Just think about it. And find a good producer, which, you know, I have Don. It's so great I have him. I wouldn't have anybody else probably produce my music. He knows what's in my head because we do so many other things together as well, archiving and hanging out. Find that good producer and find that good master. I know you know Greg Colby. I believe... with Steve Shelley, when you were releasing some of those Dose records and stuff, I was, believe it or not, responsible of getting Steve over to Greg, and Greg has mastered everything from, you know, Patti Smith's first record to Born to Run. So I think that's very important, don't you, with the final product?
Great advice from you, Kim. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
And I thank you so much, Mike.
Pleasure.
We got to get you out to Coney Island.
I promise I'll play there. And I love the snap of the skin on the Nathan Dogs.
Nothing like that snap.
Now, it's been the August 9th, 2017 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest Kim Rancourt. People, keep your powder dry.